This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Let's say the Almost Famous Podcast is a very friendly environment. We like to bring others in and welcome them into what we're doing, right, Ashley?
We sure do. And the person who's our co-host today is somebody who I was just felt so familiar and comfortable with that when I ran into her at Jingle Ball, I hugged her, I think, and I was like, so it's like, good to see you. And I realized afterward that I had never met her in person, but that's just how it is with this show. You feel like you know someone before you meet them for real. And Ben, you've
been
also
judging
never...
them for months.
Yeah.
Just months.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, you also have never met this co-host. Would you like to introduce the girl who's sitting next to me?
I would. Yeah. So we know her from The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. She's a fan favorite, has an incredible story to tell with twists and turns, just like we all do. Taylor Nolan, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Taylor, for all the listeners out there, you're going to sit around with us all day today, talk hot topics, and there's plenty of them. But let's get started with you. We know you from whose season of The Bachelor, and then how would fans know you from your time on Paradise?
Yeah, so I was on Nick's season. That was season 21, left on the two-on-one. It was a bit controversial.
With Corinne.
Yes. And then I was on Paradise and was engaged with Derek. Fun stuff.
Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of Derek questions to pepper you with. But right now we're going to discuss.
That sounds
fun.
Yeah.
So look forward to that, Taylor. Right now we're going to talk about our hot topics. Both you and I were at Jingle Ball. Hannah B was there. We didn't see her. We had a whole Bachelor crew in the Forum Lounge, and it was you, me, Chris Soules, who made his first appearance since his accident 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then it was Jared, Dean, Kalen, Christian, Haggerty, Demi's ex-fiancé, and who else am I missing?
Catherine.
Angela,
and I think that was it.
But yeah, but we didn't see Hannah. That's unfortunate. I wish she was there.
Yeah, I saw her at the red carpet.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, briefly saw her there. But then, yeah, she was nowhere else to be found.
Well, I'm sure she just...
What do you think that is?
She probably just wanted to get in and get out.
I saw her there. No, she was there all night.
Oh, really?
Well, half the night.
I hung
out with her backstage a little bit.
And I don't say like get in, get out. I mean, like, that girl is so busy. I feel like she's nonstop at appearances. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a busy world for what do they call that thing? What's the ball that they win on Dancing with the Stars?
The mirror disco ball.
Mirror ball.
I was going to say the disco ball. Oh.
No. The busy life of the mirror ball winner.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, I can't remember back when, but Hannah has kind of caught fire here recently. I do think it's weird that she didn't see you all, though. I mean, I would have loved to meet some fellow Bachelor people.
Well, now you're making it like it's like shady, but there's no shade to it. So, but there is shade. There is a component of shade that we can play here. And that is the fact that Christian came, but Demi canceled last minute. So is it possible that she was too nervous to be at the same event as Christian?
Yeah, and I don't mean to be a bleep talker.
But Amy's arrived.
That cost me $1,500 that she canceled at the last second.
Oh, wait, why? What were you going to do?
And I don't mean to be like that. But, like, I really was not happy about it. She canceled, like, an hour before. The limo was already sitting outside her house.
Hour before? Whoa. Is it because you got her a driver and stuff?
You mean why it was so expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got her a driver, and I can't cancel a driver. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people listening, like, a lot of times when there's celebrity events, you send a car, and Taylor's probably sitting there going, I didn't get a car.
Yeah, I'm like, where's my car?
Don't we didn't get a car either.
So
it's okay.
Super
relevancy.
Nice. Yes. Okay, I'm just going to tell the story because whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm going to get a call from the Bachelor people, but they already know I'm super mad.
Okay.
So originally we invited them when they were together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then they broke up. So I was asked, are you fine to still have them both? And I said, of course. Like, I would never uninvite someone.
Of course.
So I said, yeah, and they can both bring a guest. No problem. So then it got a little dicey. Like, I started getting emails like, are they going to be sitting near each other? And I don't lie. I was like, look, it's not that big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like some parties where they were going to definitely be like at the burger stand together. So then like 2 hours before, I guess it was an hour before, because the car was at her house waiting for her. They said she wasn't coming. And I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but like, I'm not the calmest person or the sweetest. I mean, I was so ticked because the seats we gave you guys were good.
Yeah, they were.
It was completely sold out. Those tickets are between $500 and $700 each.
So wait, did she call you to tell you that she wasn't coming?
No, someone else called me to say she wasn't coming. And I'm like, could she just have decided this 2 days ago? People were begging for the tickets. Like, do you know Romeo? Romeo Miller?
I told Lil Romeo?
No. Yes. And I told that guy no.
Aw.
I know. So I guess I have a right to be, I don't know, you guys judge if I have a right to be mad or not.
Well, I think last minute cancellations for anything that's business oriented is never looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if she didn't want
to
go.
I think you have an issue that you said no to Lil Romeo. That guy's awesome.
I think she could have canceled on you weeks ahead of time if she didn't want to be at the same event as Christian.
If she was getting nervous, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure I have, like, boyfriends where I don't want to be at the same party
as
them.
You definitely would kind of do this. But not in a business context. Like, you would never do that in a business context. But you would definitely avoid an ex-boyfriend.
Sometimes because I just don't need the diarrhea. Like, it just makes me so nervous.
Well, I hung out with Christian. I got to know her a little bit better. And she is kick-ass. I love her. Mm-hmm. She's so awesome. She's, like, comes across a little bit differently than she does on the show. Well, how did you feel?
I didn't watch her on the show, but she was a total badass. And I loved her. I mean, we hung out. I went back to her place afterwards and hung out. And she was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, just such good vibes.
Yeah.
And Catherine, too. Like, freaking loved Catherine.
Yeah, she comes off a little bit more mellow on TV, like even keel, but she's like a little bit spicier in real life. And we should also mention that Demi met Christian through Catherine. And you guys may or may not remember her from the first 2 weeks of Colton's season. They've been best friends since like childhood together, and they moved from Florida together to LA last year. And it was Catherine, who was good friends with Demi from the 2 weeks that she was on Colton's season, who introduced her and Demi.
Yes.
Christian Demi. Anyway, Ben, are you feeling left out because you were not Jingle Ball?
No, I was just letting you guys do your thing.
Do you know what other dirt came from Jingle Ball? Dean said something on the red carpet.
What did Dean say?
He said, I just saw this. He goes, marriage will absolutely not be happening between me and Caitlin. And
really?
Dean.
Yeah, what do you think about that comment?
Did he do this because he's Dean and he says stuff and then he gives his little smirk like, oh, this is going to be funny later, and then it's
probably
not, because we're all just like, and like Caitlin's standing there like rolling her eyes because she knows that like Dean's just trying to like get under her skin. Was this where this came from?
Probably.
That's what he pulls like
every red carpet. It's so funny when you're sitting next to him and you're like, oh my God, you just did it again.
Yeah. And like, he knows he does it. Like, let's stop. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dean is charming. Charm is deceitful. So, like, let's understand who Dean is here. Like, he knows what he's doing. He says this and knows that everybody's going to get an uproar about it. It's going to be a headline. Caitlin's going to roll her eyes knowing that he doesn't mean it, that at this point they probably haven't even talked about it. And it's just Dean being Dean, which we should not always forgive. So I'm not forgiving my friend here. I'm saying, Dean, you're wrong. Stop doing this.
Us Weekly article says
it's not going to stop.
He says, when asked if a wedding would ever happen between he and Caitlin, he said, that's never going to happen. The alum joked to Us Weekly. She does joke around about us getting married all the time. And I always say, sorry, not going to happen. I don't know. I'm super unconventional. And she obviously is a little more conventional. We joke around about it. Just try to keep expectations to a minimum, you know? Like I said on the show, under promise, over deliver.
Oh, Dean. It just makes
hilarious.
Me want to pull my hair out sometimes.
I cannot imagine dating him. Could you imagine dating a guy like that, Taylor?
I feel like I have in the past, and I've regretted it.
Was that Derek?
No. There's different levels there, but no. I think Dean, like you said, he's very charming, but I think there's a lot, like, when you peel back the layers and actually get to, like, his vulnerable side, like, there's a lot there, and he really is a great, great guy, great human.
He has so much there.
Yes, yes.
And he cares about Caitlin a lot, so let's speak for Dean here because he needs it. Is after being around him at Jingle Ball, is Caitlin and Dean's relationship, does it feel like it's progressing? How does it feel to you all?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was my first time meeting her, and I was asking her a little bit about just, like, their traveling, you know, and, like, does she feel like she, like, has to, like, keep up with him? And yeah. She was very much just like, oh, I love it. Like, if I'm here in LA for, like, more than 2 days, I'm like, where are we going? Like, I want to go somewhere. And I was like, okay, good. Then that makes a lot of sense that the two of you would, like, pair together and enjoy this kind of lifestyle together.
That's so cute.
They seemed really, really good together.
I was joking with her, too. I was like, every time I see you guys on Instagram talking about the last 11-mile hike you went on, I'm like, wow. She really likes him. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Corinne Olympios, your best friend, your bestie.
BFF.
From Nick's season is now single.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's had a boyfriend for, I guess, like about a year. Anything to say?
Sorry it didn't work out.
We'll just move on to the next line here. Ben, you want to talk about Peter's press release for the season and how you feel like this one might be a little bit different than normal premiere press releases? Because I found not a red flag, but something that sticks out to me.
What sticks out to you, Ash?
It says that this episode doesn't end with the rose ceremony and that it goes straight into group dates.
Every year they mix it up. I'm trying to figure out how that would work, but it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, I like that they changed the format up.
It helps me
stay more unpredicted.
I think every year we complain about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette premiere because, like, it's so formulaic at this point, and I feel like they probably have heard that from fans too much to not change it. And here we go. Here's the change. So we probably are going to get a bit of a shorter version of that night one. We may not get to know the rejectees at all.
Yeah. They'll just be in and out. Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah.
That's quick.
We also, in the season premiere press release, get a little bit more detail on Hannah B's role in the season. So we do see her step out of the limo, and it does seem like that is what, you know, she steps out of the limo on night one. And then she makes another appearance. So she hosts a group date in which the women will be revealing their most memorable sex stories and fantasies in front of a live audience. Ben, how do you feel about this? How many years in a row are we going to do sex stories early on?
Well, I mean, I think we're seeing it. It's no longer the story that it was before, but I mean, in relationships, it's part of it. And this show is based on relationships. So we're going to talk about it forever. I don't love how it becomes like the massive storyline of the season. I do think it helps the audience. I don't know how I even feel about this, but it does help the audience get to know the couple better if we know they've been intimate. Like that gives us some context to where their relationship is at, why it is maybe they're so connected and they, you know, understand each other so well. The one thing I don't love is I really don't want to sit and watch an hour worth of TV while people talk about their sex fantasies. Like, this isn't that show to me.
Yeah, I don't even know how they can make that clean for, like, you know, the 8 o'clock hour on ABC. All right, well, we have a couple other hot topics, including more about Hannah B. But first, we have a doctor coming on to talk about J.P. Rosenbaum, Bachelorette Ashley's husband. And the disease that he was just diagnosed with this week. We'll be back.
Sleep is so important. Wake up feeling rested with a Sleep Number bed. You can be so more productive during the day after you've slept well. Especially during the holiday season, you have to balance it all. I'm busy. Mark's busy. Ashley's busy. And Easton's head is spinning around at all times because the dude doesn't sleep unless he's in a Sleep Number. Work, kids, family, shopping, gift wrapping, holiday cooking, parties. So you need to sleep so you can do it all. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps everyone get the proven quality sleep that will change their life. Individual fit technology only at Sleep Number stores. Visit a Sleep Number store to explore the science behind the bed. Discover comfort for you and your partner. Visually see your body's pressure points react to a Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Right now, I've been using – I'm upped it. This is a big moment for me. I have to admit I've upped it to a 90. You know the reason why? Well, I traveled for a month and a half without my Sleep Number. At this point, my back is so messed up that I came back home and I said, I need something a little firmer. So I'm sleeping at a 90 setting. I don't know how long I'll do this for. Anyways, it's nice for me right now. I love my Sleep Number bed. You would too. Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust on each side to your ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. All right, listen up. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you've slept and gain insights for your best sleep. Discover proven quality sleep with a Sleep Number 360 smart bed from $999 only at a Sleep Number store near you or sleepnumber.com/Ben. That's sleepnumber.com/Ben.
All right. Well, when you've got a doctor hanging on the line about to explain the syndrome that one of your Bachelor alums was just diagnosed with, you got to take the call now. You got to interrupt Hot Topics. So Dr. Jeanette is on the phone. Hello, Dr. Jeanette. Welcome to the Almost Famous podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. So you're a medical news expert, family and emergency medicine doctor, and we have to know, I need you to explain this syndrome. Is it a sick syndrome that J.P. Rosenbaum has? It's called, it's called the Guillain-Barré syndrome?
Yes, Guillain-Barré. The L is kind of silent, but yeah, so this is a very rare but potentially life-threatening condition. It only affects about 1 in 100,000 people, and I've only had a few cases in my lifetime, fortunately. But what happens is your immune system, it attacks its own healthy cells, it attacks its own nerves, and it causes damage to the nerves, and it affects your motor nerves and your sensory nerves. So you have trouble walking, and you have numbness and tingling, and difficulty with sensation. And the danger is that you normally, not sometimes, you start to have paralysis and weakness beginning in your feet, and it slowly moves up to your legs, to your knees, to your waist. And then the reason why it becomes life-threatening is it can affect your diaphragm. So if your diaphragm becomes paralyzed, you can't breathe. And so I've had patients, you know, that have had to be on ventilators because of this condition, which usually is triggered or preceded by an infection, like a upper respiratory tract infection, or, you know, like a stomach bug where you have some nausea or vomiting or diarrhea. So it can be from a virus. It can be triggered by a bacteria. We don't know exactly what, but the key is early diagnosis, and, you know, that tends to lead to a better outcome, such as in JP's condition. Thank goodness he sought treatment early. Otherwise, it could really have affected him.
So unlike most neurological diseases, this is actually caught kind of, because you catch, like you said, a stomach bug, and then it develops from there.
Right. So sometimes, somehow, for example, there's a bacteria called Campylobacter. This has been found in many people who were diagnosed with a Guillain-Barré. And that's a bacteria. For example, maybe you were under the weather, or you ate some bad food that was contaminated, or you just had a cold, just a simple virus, and that virus went and affected and attacked. It triggered your immune system to attack itself. And so that's how it starts. But we don't know the exact cause. There could also be a genetic predisposition. The scientists are still, you know, studying and researching this condition. But the key, again, is if you catch it early, you can potentially prevent any serious long-term sequela. You know, we can get you treated with IV medications, what we call a immunoglobulin, IV immunoglobulin, or a plasma exchange. And that can help with the progression of this condition. There's not a cure for it, but, you know, a lot of people can recover over time. It can take weeks to months to recover. A lot of physical therapy is sometimes needed. Some people don't recover if it's not diagnosed in a timely manner. But the good thing, again, is that it's rare. But I've seen it before, and I was able to, fortunately, thank goodness, diagnose it and find it and catch it early in a young patient that I once had in the ER. And I quickly sent him to the neurologist, and we got him started on medications where we were able to prevent him from having any, you know, serious complications, trouble breathing, and keep him off a ventilator.
So JP said that he can't drive his kids to school right now. He can't even, to TMI, wipe his own butt.
Yeah.
How fast is the onset of symptoms?
So everyone is different. For example, the patient that I had, it was a couple of weeks. He slowly had just a little bit of numbness and tingling in his legs, and then it was getting worse. He actually went to see another doctor who said, oh, you're just hyperventilating. And then luckily he came back as he was instructed, and we ran some tests. And there's a test called a lumbar puncture, which can tell you if you have a certain amount of type of protein in your body. And so everyone is different. It doesn't usually hit you suddenly. It's usually a progressive, maybe over days or weeks. And then it can hit you hard after that if you don't take precaution, if you don't get treated. But everyone is different as far as how fast it attacks and how severe your symptoms will be. Some people, they don't have very serious symptoms and they can recover. But some, it can be, as you see with JP, hospitalized. He's going to need physical therapy. He probably can't drive because his body is still weak. Then that numbness and tingling and the weakness is because of the damage to the nerves. The body is strong and it attacks itself in an effort to fight off, this infection, what we call antigen. It recognizes that there's something off in the body, and that's why the body turns on itself. But fortunately for him, he's young, healthy overall, and hopefully with time and physical therapy, he will, improve and maybe even a full recovery.
All right. Well, we hope so. Thank you so much for giving us some more insight on this rare syndrome.
Absolutely. Our prayers go out to JP. Hopefully he'll continue to do well, him and his family.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
So I mentioned I wasn't done talking about Hannah B. and her role in Peter's season. It says in this press release, you have to go read the press release because it's chock full of juicy stuff. It says that, she comes out of the limo and that she hosts a group date. But not only that, it says that after this group date, Peter discovers Hannah backstage distraught. And what she shares with him is going to leave them both very confused, it says. And they're both going to possibly question whether they still have feelings for each other and if it's mutual and if Hannah will continue to date Peter in a bachelor house full of other women. Hannah?
That seems a little unrealistic to me.
I
know what you meant. Yeah. It seems a little unrealistic to me that she would stay there to do all of that, right?
There's absolutely no chance she wins the mirror ball trophy and then she's going to go just like live in the bunks again.
Yeah, absolutely not.
The timeline is interesting because it was before.
I know.
Before Dancing with the Stars ever happened.
Yeah, before.
True, yeah.
Well, we know she went on to do Dancing with the Stars and had to train countless hours a day, so she obviously did not join his season. I think the big mystery here is, what does she tell him? My fear, I'm probably being just like played by all the promos, but I guess my theory is that she says, hey, like, I have other opportunities. I'm going to go pursue them, work on myself. I think I should be single now. But if for some reason you keep thinking about me through this process and I keep thinking about you, then let me know.
Yeah, she could be like, have this experience. But then afterwards, if I'm still on your mind, then maybe we should touch base because you've been on my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll have to see. It's less than 1 month until the premiere of Peter's season. And I do love the tagline of this season, expect turbulence. Isn't that cute?
It's a good one.
Some more Bachelor Hot Topics. Caitlin and Jason adopted a new dog, another golden retriever, through Bunny Babies, which is a really awesome foundation that goes and gets dogs over in Asia that are in shelters. They're really high kill shelters over there, or in meat markets, which is even scarier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice to see them add their new edition of Pino to their very cute baby Ramen.
Very cute.
Dylan and Hannah recently discussed their wedding, and they said that whenever it is that Hannah B, Demi, Katie, Heather, and Mike Johnson will all be invited.
I feel like Dylan is connected with a lot of Bachelor Nation. I don't know who Hannah's like group of friends are, but I always see Dylan with a group of dudes. I'm surprised there's not more names here.
Yeah, like there's got to be Peter there and Tyler Cameron,
yeah, Tyler.
Right?
Yeah.
I think their wedding is going to be an incredible event. I have a feeling it's going to happen sooner than we think.
I think it might, too. I think it might actually be next summer. Now, do you think that they're the kind of couple that would get married on Bachelor in Paradise?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. That's just my judgment.
Honestly, my judgment of myself is that I'm the kind of person that would get married on Bachelor in Paradise, and I didn't want to do it that way.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I feel like they would.
Okay. Bachelor in Paradise alums Daniel McGuire and Robbie Hayes, they're back on reality TV. Robbie is on Siesta Key, and Daniel McGuire is on the new season of X on the Beach. So if you guys are hardcore Bachelor fans and you want to watch them on there you go. Who knows? Taylor's got a face right now. What's the face saying?
That's just, yeah.
Is it's that a lot. Face of judgment?
Slightly, yeah. It's a lot of, I don't know. I mean, Daniel's in Vancouver, and from what I know, he's like still just, you know, living single life, trying to make things work. And yeah, Robbie, I mean, good old Robbie.
Were you on seasons with both of them?
I was, yes. Yeah, both of them. Yeah. Daniel was with Lacey, which was like disaster.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Robbie was with Amanda.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel McGuire's got to be one of the weirdest guys I've ever met. And the final tidbit of Bachelor news that we got for you is Bachelor alum Becca Martinez is pregnant with baby number 2. She announced it on Instagram over Thanksgiving break. Do you know Becca?
I do not. I was actually thinking I was going to meet her this LA trip. We were going to do a pod swap, but scheduling did not work out. So, yeah, I have yet to meet her. And then I was supposed to go to Kendall had like a white elephant party thing on Saturday, which I was going to go to and then got caught up in some other things. So didn't make it there, but would have met Becca there if I had gone.
Darn it. Becca's the best. I love her. And I love how she's so unfiltered and unscared to say certain things. And she's been open about this pregnancy being more planned than the other one.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we always get tagged in similar things. Mm-hmm. Like I'll get tags in certain comments of like me and her discussing similar topics and having similar personalities on social media. So have always wanted to meet her, and hopefully one of these days it works out.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Should we take a break and then get into the dirty with Taylor?
Sounds great.
This is the time of year where you kind of want to stay home more often. It gets dark early. It's cold. You just kind of want to stay home, be on the couch with a cozy home-cooked meal. And if you're like, I'm not really good at cooking, well, I have a good option for you. It's called HelloFresh, and it's perfect for the holiday season. It makes cooking at home so easy. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. You get easy seasonal recipes, so it's like cozy for this time of year. And they have pre-measured ingredients delivered in the box that comes right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. Even if you aren't an expert in the kitchen, HelloFresh makes cooking really simple. They have step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients, like I just said. And you'll have everything that you're going to need to impress friends that come over for dinner in just about 30 minutes. I just ordered the family meal, and I'll be cooking for everyone. It has over more than 20 seasonal chef curated recipes each week. So that means like each week with HelloFresh, you get to pick from 20 different recipes from the week before that a chef put together. They also have calorie smart and vegetarian options. And there's a fun menu series that's called the Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. If you're like looking for like a sports meal, you know what I mean? If you're sitting down to watch football and you're going to cook your HelloFresh. HelloFresh is also flexible and it fits in your lifestyle. You can add extra meals to your weekly order. And there's add-ons like garlic bread. Who doesn't like garlic bread? If you don't like garlic bread, I don't want to be friends with you. They also have cookie dough. You can easily change your delivery days, your food preferences, and skip a week whenever you need to. Right now, you can get 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/AlmostFamous9 and using the code AlmostFamous9. Again, that is 9 free meals with HelloFresh when you go to HelloFresh.com/AlmostFamous9 and use the code AlmostFamous9.
As most of you know, I'm hosting The Bachelor Live on stage with Becca Kufrin. Kicking off in Mesa on February 13th, this is going to be an awesome evening. For Bachelor Nation, and we're heading all over the country. Seriously, we're not just going to the big cities. We're going everywhere. If you're in the audience, it is going to be so much fun to experience what you love from the TV show in such an intimate and live format. Plus, you're going to have a say in the rose ceremonies for the first time ever. And if you're looking for love, one local bachelor in each city, will have the chance to meet 10 sensational women on stage for the beginning of a new journey to potentially, hey, find some love. How does this happen? Well, Beck and I will guide the bachelor and help him find the woman he's most compatible with through 3 different group dates and challenges that allow the women to showcase their personalities. There's going to be the first impression game, a hometown scenario where the ladies reveal what life would be like beyond the final rose, and yes, even the fantasy suites. Now is the time to get your tickets to come see Becca and myself live on stage and hear us share our stories from our experiences on what life is really like at the mansion and a behind-the-scenes perspective on the whole show. So go visit BachelorLiveOnStage.com and get your tickets now. This is the perfect night to grab your Bachelor Monday Watch Party crew and go have a blast in your hometown. I really hope to see you there.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And Growing Businesses connect to qualified candidates. We've talked about it many times before, but it doesn't change the fact that ZipRecruiter helps you. I started a business a few years ago. Now I have my third, and I tell you, every time I hire, I go to ZipRecruiter. It helps make my hiring process efficient, affordable, and I find the best candidates. Don't ask just me, though. Ask Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner. She experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It's hilarious. It finds them for you. Isn't that how it should be? And by using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones. Then you find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly so impressed that she found the quality candidates so quickly and hired a new game artist, listen to this, in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free. You heard me right. ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, Taylor. So we all know you from the Derek and Taylor relationship. On the show, we were often so just like glued to the person that we had a televised relationship with, and you become kind of one in the minds of Bachelor fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you feel about that glue right now? Because I feel like your face says you don't really like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not glued to him anymore, you know? It was a solid almost a year of my life where we were very much attached, and I get that, you know? But, yeah, like, he's his own person with his own life now, and I'm my own person with my own life now, and it's not, like, I get it's always going to be a part of my life. It's a part of my story, just way more public and in my face than most relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different and feels a little old at times, but I mean, it's also like a very special relationship to me. So
can you give us a timeline of your relationship? So you guys met on Bachelor in Paradise four?
I think it was 4. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it 4? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then you were together for a year, right?
We
a little less.
A little less. Yeah. We met in June and then were engaged on the reunion show, which was in August, and then broke up in like May, June.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was like we were publicly broken up in like June.
And then he took a year in between the breakup to go on Bachelor in Paradise this past season.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you want to get engaged on that August reunion show?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
so. Am I allowed to say that?
I feel like it was obvious watching you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not in that place. And I did make that clear. Like, that wasn't... Yeah. So, no, I didn't. And I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it did happen. And, yeah, that was a big part in us breaking up as well. Okay. But
what do you mean there was a lot that went into... that. You said there is a lot of decisions that made it happen.
When I say that, when people are like, oh, you know, like, were you expecting it to happen? I'm like, no, because I was clear that I didn't want it. So I didn't expect it to happen. A lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, he must have just been like manipulated by producers, all that. And I'm like, no, because they also knew that I didn't want that. And I think part of it also was really just he really wanted that. Like, he really saw that and saw it as an opportunity. And I don't think there was anything like malicious in it of him being like, oh, I'm going to get her in this relationship. But yeah, I mean, even like friends that have seen him since then, like a few months ago, one of my friends hung out with him and it was just like, he was like, yeah, like I was really in love with her. Like, I really, really loved her. And I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I think he really thought, yeah.
So
I don't know. I'm saying a lot.
You're saying it's not for malicious reasons. You're saying it's not because the producers talked him into it. And you said that it's something he really wanted. Now, did he really want to just be with you forever? Did he want to like get married, or did he want to have a televised bachelor engagement and be in a bachelor engaged couple?
Yeah, I have thoughts on that. I think part of it is that, yeah, he just really wanted, you know, he really wants a family. He wants that life. He wants to have someone in his life like that. I think part of it was, yes, he saw me as that person. But I think the other part of it, sure, is also that piece of like attention and, you know, just continuing something. Like, when you know you want to long term date someone, you take the opportunity to just get engaged on the show to then have all that extra stuff and whatever else. So I think that was part of it. But I'm not him, so I can't say.
How does having this like relationship define you? I mean, we're still talking about it today. How does it affect your like dating life and any other relationships since then?
It's caused me to be super intentional and super assertive in my relationships now. But just in terms of like people perceiving me and whatnot from this relationship, it's a weird thing, you know, because I don't necessarily consider myself to have been engaged. Like, it's a weird thing. I look at it as like this alternate universe, like an alternate reality life that I was in. But to other people, it's like, wow, like you were engaged and like you had this like full out thing. And I think it makes other people, when they first start dating me, think that I want all of those things, which I do on some level, right? But not in that way. But yeah, it's caused me to just be a lot more intentional and assertive and like creating my relationships today.
I want, like, so my first thought, and I know our listeners are thinking this, is like, why would you say yes?
I don't think I actually said yes. I was just crying and I was like shaking my head.
You're like, I literally, like, yes, you did this. You did it.
I was literally in shock. Like, I've literally never, already when I walked out there on stage, I like black out immediately, because the last time I was on stage like that was for Women's Hell All, which was like highly traumatic and like a freaking wrestling rink. Like,
very
it was
scary.
Literally hyperventilating in between commercial breaks and just an absolute disaster. So already going out there, I was such a disaster and had so much anxiety and was just literally just blacking out. And yeah, afterwards, I literally just went into like total shock. And I'm a big talker, so like I'm always talking things through. And like afterwards, I was in my trailer, and like
your podcast is called "Let's Talk About It."
Exactly. And yeah, even afterwards, like the producers that I'm close with were just like, "Do you want to talk?" And like I literally was just silent for like 30 minutes, and just had like tears just like streaming down my face. Like I couldn't even like make words, and that's how I know I'm like, yeah, that was just shock. Like I had never experienced anything like that before, and it's like, what are you going to do? It's like, yeah, I do have love for him, and you know, want to date him. Like we were not monogamously together when that happened.
Wow.
So I was like, I do have love for him and I want to date him. But like now what? Like, how do I have no idea.
You were not monogamously together. And was he aware of this?
Yes.
And he proposed to somebody who didn't even want to commit to him like full-heartedly?
Yes.
Were you not monogamous because I know you talk about this on your podcast a lot. You talk about open relationships and threesomes even. And we
talk about all the things.
I know. I say threesomes like that just because we don't normally talk. It's usually pretty PG over here.
Yeah.
But so you're the kind of person that you can have multiple relationships at one time. What were you open with Derek because you didn't like him enough or just because you like that style relationship?
No. So I wouldn't even say we were in an open relationship. We were just single and like dating. And I don't think like when people are in open relationships or non-monogamous relationships, it's not even necessarily about not liking someone enough. It's just that other things are different. Mm-hmm. Having a connection with one person doesn't lessen your connection for another. But yeah, I think we basically after Paradise, he came to Seattle. He was in Seattle for like 3 weeks and we were having a great time. And, you know, he had like pushed back his flight, like to stay longer. And it was super sweet. And I was like so happy. But by the time he left the trip, I was like, you know, I'm not ready to be like, I still need more time. And, you know, when you get off the show, like there's just so much happening. And, you know, I had gotten off of my season of Bachelor and then gone on to Paradise and was like, yeah, like I just want to take this slow. Like I just want to see what life looks like. Like you live in Iowa, I live in Seattle. Like let's just give this some time and, you know, like give ourselves a little bit of a breather here. And I think he was really hurt by that and like wanted to be boyfriend and girlfriend. And I basically left it as like, you know, yeah, I'll communicate with you if I'm with anyone. And like you communicate with me if you're with anyone. And we'll continue to work on this because I would like to work towards that. And then, you know, we both kind of did our own things and saw each other when we could. And then there was definitely things that he wasn't fully honest with me about that also contributed to things later. And yeah, it wasn't, I wouldn't say we were in any kind of open relationship. It was just us dating and figuring it out. And yeah, then it was time for the reunion show.
Would you say that his feelings spiked during the airing of the show? Or that there's like a high around your relationship?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of highs around all of it, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there was also part of, you know, my storyline the first time around on Bachelor was really difficult and didn't necessarily show the best parts of me. And I think he really enjoyed the fact that people were getting to see a different side of me. And I think he, you know, I think it also made him feel good to know that like he was a part of that and that he was helping me in that way, I guess. So, yeah, I think that, you know, watching ourselves on the show also brought us together. And, you know, it's I always say like my favorite Derek that I knew was like Derek in Iowa. Like when I'm there, like with his family, like that was the absolute best possible times we could have had where we were super, super close. And it does make me sad because I think in a different place, in a different time, if we had met, you know, totally unrelated to the show, things might have been different. But yeah, they're just when I look at like the actual timeline of our relationship, so much stuff happened. And it's like, yeah, no wonder it was difficult for us. there was a lot contributing.
So close up the picture for us here. Because I want to get to know you too, Taylor, outside of this relationship, because I think there's a little bit more there.
Thanks. Yeah.
But close up the picture of what happened after engagement. So yeah. clear up the finish the story here. You get engaged. You're obviously together for a while. It ends. And then let's talk about what you're doing today, because I know you got some cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got engaged. 3 days after that, my stepdad collapsed running a race and went into like cardiac arrest. And most people like don't come back from that. And he did, lost his medical license for being a pilot. He was in the Air Force. Mm. Or no, he was actually flying for Paul Allen at that time. But yeah, so basically had a lot of family stuff happen where then I stayed in Seattle and was staying home. And Derek had moved to New York for a job and then basically wanted me to move to New York. And I was like, I have to stay here for family. And then my cat was also like dying. I'm a crazy cat lady, like loud and proud. And so I was like, I can't, like, I gotta, you know, stay here for my cat. And yeah, we were just not on the same page with what we wanted. And yeah.
I have two blaring questions before we do move on from Derek. How did you get to crying and being so hysterical on that reunion show to actually putting the ring on your finger? And did you really wear the ring?
When I was in public?
Yeah.
When I had to, I did.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the reunion was in August, and then like I told him after, I was like, yeah, like I will be your girlfriend, you know, like I will commit to you and will be your girlfriend. And then it was in October. I was in Iowa, and that was when I, like, really actually fell in love with him. And it was unfortunate that then, like, that same week that I was like, I'm fully in love with you, and, yeah, like, I'm in this, and I'm, like, I want us to do this, then I found out a lot of other things that were really heartbreaking and difficult, and then that was tough. Almost broke up then, but stayed together and tried to work on things, and then ended it in June.
Would you say that you were ever in a monogamous relationship with Derek?
Yeah.
Okay. So was it that October time?
Yeah, no, like, from the engagement there on out, we were monogamously together. Okay. Yeah.
Taylor, you are, I think you still do, I don't know what your career is right now, but you're obviously an expert in kind of how events in life affect you mentally. So you go through this whole thing, and I want to try to make this so relatable to anybody listening out there. I just actually got back from Washington, D.C. This is funny. I want to tell you this, Taylor. I was at Capital One headquarters talking about a company that I'm a part of called Generous. And I'm standing in line, and they're like, oh, so a couple of women came up, and they're like, oh, we love the Almost Famous podcast. We're huge fans of Ashley. Who are you having on this week? And I said your name, like, we love Taylor. So I know they're listening to this right now.
Yeah.
Which is always fun to know and think about as somebody across the country right now is listening to us. I wanted to let you know you have fans in Washington, D.C.
Thanks. If that makes you feel better about yourself. Baltimore for like 8 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, close to it. So here's the thing. Let's make this relatable for those type of people that are listening out there. Somebody gets into a relationship. They don't know what to do with it. It's not going according to plan. It never feels right. Somebody thought it was right for a long time. You keep trying to convince yourself. It keeps disappointing you. You get out of it, and you sit there and you try to recover and heal and process everything that's happened in the last 7 months of your life, 8 months. I don't know how long it was for you. How do you do that, and where does it spit you out? Like, at the end of it, when the light starts to shine again, what have you learned from this whole thing? The show, the relationship, the events that have happened through it to where you are now?
That's such a good question. That's such a big one. There's a lot in that. I think for me, it was, I was definitely in a phase of like getting to know me a little bit more, figuring out like what I really wanted out of a relationship, what I wanted my life to look like. Because when you come off the show, I feel like you don't really have like a, your life is just all over the place. Like there's not necessarily grounding there for you to really like be in touch with yourself, because there's just so many things happening. And for me, it was super important to like be grounded, be in Seattle, be with my family, be with my friends, get back to like figuring out my career, what I wanted that to look like.
Because you had just gotten out of grad school, right?
Yeah, I had graduated May 2016 and then was on the show filming in September 2016.
Yeah. So you and I had similar paths.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, how do I get back to, you know, who Taylor is? Like, that was really important. And like huge takeaways from the show and that whole experience is like, you can't please everyone. And at the end of the day, like you have to remain authentic to yourself and to your story and just living your life in alignment with what you want. I think in a lot of ways, when I reflect on, you know, my time and my experience on the show, is that I made myself a little small and tried to please other people and tried to make sure I was doing things the right way. And then when you look back on that, that's not like, you're like, who is that? You know, like that doesn't feel super authentic. And so, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but those, I have a lot of reflections post show.
Has it affected you still to this day? I mean, it's been a few years now.
Yeah. I mean, both times on the show, and it's always nice like to, in a way, get together with other people from the show, because you can all kind of relate to this experience. And even this weekend with some other Batch alum after Jingle Ball, you know, just having really honest, authentic, real conversations, really vulnerable conversations about how the show has impacted each of us. And it honestly is trauma. Like, for some people, yes, it's a great experience. And I'm sure for both of you, you also have like beautiful things to take away from the show. But in general, it, the first time was traumatic in one way, and the second time was traumatic in other ways. And I, you know, my own personal therapy for several years post show, and while the show was airing for like several days, a week sometimes, it literally was trauma. So it absolutely does stick with me. And, you know, in some ways in a really positive way, right? Because now I feel like I sometimes just don't really give a shit about anything. And so I just will just be myself, regardless of if that fits in the picture of what people think a therapist should look like, or if it's what they think Taylor from the show should look like, or someone who has emotional intelligence should look like. It's okay. Like, I'm just being me, like, and that's just what I'm going to continue to do.
That was my next question. So you got, what was your degree in at Johns Hopkins?
Yeah, so I have a bachelor's in psychology with a minor in human services, and then I have a master's in clinical mental health counseling.
So you were known on the show as the emotional intelligence girl. It was a term that you threw around a lot. How did your education play a role in how you handled the bachelor experience?
Yeah. Well, I think going on, everyone was like, from producers to friends to like strangers, everyone was just like, oh, well, like, you're going to kill it. Like, you're so prepared. Like, if anyone's prepared for a show like this, it's you. And like, newsflash, you're never prepared. Yeah. And I think for me, it was a huge slap in the face of reality, honestly, because I was in such a bubble in my life with my friends and my community of people where phrases like emotional intelligence were just a part of our daily language. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just a part of it. And so I think it actually in some ways put me at a disadvantage because, honestly, it is also a reality TV show and people want entertainment, right? And for me, I was very much in a, like, I was taking myself a little seriously.
Yeah, people would say that you, like, sounded a little bit elitist.
Yeah, and to me, like, that was just, yeah, when you look at it in comparison, it's going to look like that. And, yeah, to me, it was just a part of my daily language. So it definitely was a bit of like a wake up call of like, I guess just knowing that I'm in a little bit of a bubble around people who are really interested in, you know, personal development and challenging themselves in those ways. And yeah, then I was like, oh, like, I'm on a reality TV show. I forgot.
Did you feel like everything that you knew from school made you more overly analytical of everything that was going
for sure.
on, like production and like how they were trying to
For sure.
All the moves, the producing moves.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And I also felt like going on the show, I was just so curious to like observe all the dynamics, but I definitely took way more of a I took more like the role of an observer than I actually allowed myself to be present in the experience, which is something I would definitely change if that was ever possible. And I think that's something I've been more intentional and aware of going into any experiences today of just like, you don't necessarily have to like be the observer or be analytical in this or try to be as objective as possible. Like, mm-hmm. just go be subjective. Go be yourself. Like, experience this. Because I definitely was very in my head and was very much like trying to look out for people and trying to, you know, take in all the different dynamics because there's a lot that goes on the show.
Would you recommend doing it? If somebody asked you today, a close friend, and they said, hey, we have this opportunity, would you say do it?
I would ask them why they wanted to do it. I would say why. Why
did you want to do it?
I wanted to do it because I thought what better way to challenge myself with being vulnerable than to go on reality TV and date a total stranger. A lot of the work I was doing with my clients at the time was around vulnerability. And I had someone tell me that I'm really great at getting to know other people, but that I'm actually really not vulnerable and I have a lot of walls up. And so I was already challenging myself in my dating and trying to be like, how can I let people in? How do I let those walls down? And was also trying to go with the flow a little bit more because my life had been so planned out. Like, I did my bachelor's in 3 years, went straight to my master's, and I was like, I'm going to be fully licensed by the time I'm 25 and I'll work the rest of my life as a psychotherapist. So I was like, how do I like get outside of my comfort zone and challenge myself with letting go of control and going with the flow and also being more vulnerable and letting my walls down? And the show literally encapsulated all of that. And it was like, this is an opportunity before I just go headfirst into my career. Do I take it or do I walk away and then always wonder what if?
That's the most interesting answer I've ever gotten to that question.
Yeah.
She's an interesting person. This has been an interesting interview.
It has been
Taylor,
good.
Thanks for coming on. I want to hear though, what are you up to now? I know you have a good podcast. It's booming. Mm-hmm. You're sharing your insights and your love for others on the podcast. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah. So the podcast is called Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan, and it focuses on mental and sexual health. So right now I practice as a psychotherapist in Seattle, and then I'm also going through training right now to be certified as a sex therapist. So I definitely share my own personal experiences. I have other experts on who share not only their professional knowledge, but also their own personal experiences as well. There's a lot of stigma and shame around mental health, but I'm also learning that there's even more stigma around sexual health and sexuality, especially as a young woman of color. I receive a lot of shame around that, around expressing and exploring my sexuality. So that's something that I feel like I try to tackle on a daily basis on not only Instagram, but also with the podcast. So that's kind of what I'm up to these days, and just dating and, you know, exploring all the fun things.
You brought a boy to Jingle Ball. Is that a boyfriend or is that someone you're seeing?
Just a person I'm seeing. Yeah, it's very, he's in Toronto. I really suck at finding people in Seattle to date. So yeah, no, he's in Canada. I have someone in London I talk to occasionally. There is one person I see in Seattle sometimes. There's someone in LA I talk to. So yeah, like I'm dating and figuring out where it goes. And yeah, the Toronto guy that came to Jingle Ball, he's really great, and I'm liking him, so we'll see where that goes.
You made a comment earlier about different people fulfilling different emotional needs, and that's a super interesting take, but it makes me wonder, do you think that you'll ever be in a relationship? Do you want to be in a monogamous relationship? Do you want to find somebody who fulfills all the emotional needs?
So,
which I don't know if that's possible, but
I was going to say I definitely feel there are parts of me that desire monogamy, and there are times I really enjoy monogamy. I don't believe that someone will ever be able to fully fulfill all of my emotional needs all of the time.
Right. I don't know if anybody can find that.
Yeah. And I think that that's unfortunately one of the concepts we have around monogamy that can lead to some really unhealthy relationships, mm-hmm. and toxic behaviors. But yeah, there's definitely like periods of my life and in times with people that 100% monogamy is what I desire, and I want to be fully like wrapped up in that one person and don't necessarily have a desire for other people. But I don't think like long term that would be something for me, at least, you know. Ever since my first boyfriend, I've always said, you know, the person I marry is not going to be the one and only person I have sex with for the rest of my life. That just seems so unrealistic to me, and that there were like so like it's so beautiful when you do have a connection with someone, right? Like, how often is it that you like someone, that they like you back, and like timing is right, and you have the opportunity to actually explore a connection? Like, I find that's fairly rare that actually happens. And when it does, how beautiful is that to be able to have the openness to actually explore?
So marriage doesn't mean monogamy to you?
Not necessarily. I think it certainly involves periods of monogamy. You know, like, I don't think it's... When I do talk about non-monogamy, I think people think, you know, every weekend you and your partner are out trying to find someone else, and like that's not what it looks like at all. There's definitely periods where there would be a sense of being closed off to other people or not pursuing that. And there's times that I super enjoy that as well. So yeah, it's not, I think I could definitely be in a monogamous relationship again, but it would probably be a little bit more monogamish.
Interesting expression. Sure. Monogamish.
Never heard that term.
You never heard monogamish?
It's kind of cute.
Yeah, Dan Savage started it.
Taylor, yeah. We got a few emails we're going to get to. Before we do, I want to ask you one final question to sum all this up. What are, from doing the podcast, from opening up about some of the things that have been laid on your heart, the lessons you've learned, what are some things you have learned, experienced in the last few months from listeners and emailers before we get into our own emails that you've taken with you?
Something I've learned from my listeners?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think I've learned to... It might sound a little weird, but just to be more outspoken in standing in your truth. I think the more that I talk about taboo and very stigmatized topics, the more I feel like it encourages and fuels other people to stand in their truths with that and to feel less alone. And I have felt way less alone in the things I struggle with that I have had to work through some shame around when I share them. And I'm also met with the same thing from other people. So I think just having that courage to stand in your truth and be vulnerable in that has been something I've learned a lot to do from listeners, and am very much inspired by reading their stories and reading their messages to me about them doing the same.
Where can people find your podcast?
On Apple Podcast, on Spotify, any place where you listen to podcasts. If you just search in Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan, it'll show up.
It's weekly?
Yep, every week.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are definitely going to check that out. You have been so articulate and such a pleasure to listen to.
Oh, thank you.
And talk to.
Thanks.
Yes. So I want to listen to you more over there.
Thanks.
All right. You ready to get to this email, which is very on brand for this season of The Bachelor? It is flights for The Bachelor. This is from Leah. She asks, I'm dying to know, how are flights booked so quickly after someone decides to leave or is kicked off the show early? Ben, you have an answer for this.
There's a whole travel department. Sometimes, I mean, I know there's been scenarios, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, where the person can't leave like right away. Like they have mm-hmm. to stay the night or wait till the evening flight out.
It's all an illusion that we leave right away.
No, I mean, people do leave. Like they get in a car, they drive to a hotel away from everybody, and they either stay in the night at a hotel or they jump on a flight the next morning. But I don't think it's that. I mean, it's impressive. I think it's impressive when you're like in Bali and all of a sudden there's somebody can get like a flight out of there. I mean, that has to cost the show so much money.
That's
I can't
true.
Even imagine what their travel expenses are.
No wonder why we don't get paid.
Somebody gets kicked off.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a whole travel team. Somebody gets kicked off. I'm sure they radioed down. Little Sally Sue is being sent home. Make sure you get her a flight back to San Francisco tomorrow and somebody's on it.
Mm-hmm. I have one that didn't make the pages in front of you, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Just came in late, and she does not want her name said, so okay. I'll be careful here. But she says, if you know your partner is getting you a ring for Christmas, like the ring, what kind of gift can you possibly get him? I know that saying yes is a gift, but any ideas on what I can give him that's equally meaningful?
Oh, my goodness.
I love that question.
I do, too. It's so sweet.
It is not Jessica. That.
Okay, good. I was like,
like, wait for awkward pause. Okay, so, I don't know. I would say like it really doesn't have a price tag on it. It can't have a price tag on it because like you're not going to get him whatever the cost of the actual ring is. So whether it's a token or a memento that sort of stands for the same thing, which is, you know, togetherness forever, then you're going to have to just find what in your relationship symbolizes that.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, any other options?
I got an easier idea.
Okay.
How about you just say yes?
Well, that's what she
that
said.
That should be gift enough, right?
She said, but other than saying yes, what's a gift?
Yeah, and I think, she's also wanting to choose him mm-hmm. as well. Mm. And I think sometimes that's what's missed in, like, traditional proposals of that, like, the reciprocation, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful that this listener wants to give back to her partner like that. And I love what you said, too, about finding something in your relationship that it symbolizes, you know, your connection and giving that as a gift. But also, I mean, why can't you also get a ring as well and, you know—
I'm kind of
proposed
all about the man engagement ring. My best friend actually just proposed to her boyfriend of 4 years this past weekend, which is so funny. But it was kind of a joke that they always had. She drunkenly one night said, you know what, Rob, I'm going to propose to you one day. Mm-hmm. And then she tried to back out of it for a couple of years. She's like, you know that I didn't really mean it. I want you to propose to me. He's like, nope, you said it. Like, I'm sticking to it. So it wasn't like a surprise that she was the one that got down one knee, but she finally was the one that decided. And she didn't get down on one knee. And she has a ring for him, but she has a ring for her, too. Mm-hmm. At the proposal moment, she had a ring for herself, which was a family heirloom. She didn't buy it for herself. and he had actually also asked her dad for permission ahead of time. So there was a bit of tradition to it. Mm.
Yeah. That is sweet. Any kind of like personal framed something or other, mm-hmm. collage, photos, anything meaningful like that, I think is a great idea. Hey, I just want to remind everybody to come and see you guys live.
Yes.
Because, you know, you two are modest. You don't want to sing your own praises.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
But I am so lucky. I get to sit here and watch Ben and Ashley do this live on a weekly basis. You need to get in on this. It's the perfect holiday gift. What a stocking stuffer. Tickets to see Almost Famous Live in San Francisco at the Palace of Fine Arts. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Make it a girls' night. Get it for you and your friends. Make it a weekend getaway. Stay at the Viceroy, the Palace of Fine Arts.
Love the Viceroy.
Ticketmaster.com. Coming up in January, Almost Famous Live.
And our guest on that podcast, not to make it awkward, is Derek.
Ooh.
And and Katie Morton for right now. We may have more surprise appearances to talk about later.
Yeah. Hey, also, Taylor, I don't know what you think of this, but after a lot of emails, a lot of feedback, we have the opportunity. We're going to interview Chris Soules. On this podcast, it'll be airing December 23rd. Chris Soules was, as mentioned, at Jingle Ball. It's one of his first times out in a while. He is a friend of mine. Obviously, Ashley was on his season and is a friend of Ashley's. We're going to sit down with Chris on this podcast in an in-depth episode, catch up with him, hear his story, hear how he's doing, hear what lessons learned. But check it out, December 23rd, Chris Soules on the Almost Famous podcast.
And a quick shout out to my favorite new place to Postmates. It's called Tokaya Organica, and they provided us lunch here today at the iHeart station. So big thank you to Tokaya Organica. If you live, they're expanding. They're expanding a lot. I actually feel so passionate about this food, this restaurant, that I did a little research on them a couple weeks ago, and they are expanding, but they're really just in this LA area right now primarily. They are a fresh, casual, modern Mexican restaurant chain. They create both a date-worthy atmosphere. It's really nice in there. It's not just for pickup. There's also a nice upscale bar area, and they have fresh homemade cocktails. You see them making it. It's really nice. The menu is fully vegan forward, but they also have meat for you meat eaters as well. They are all about quality produce, and that's the foundation of the restaurant. Between now and the end of the year, for every $50 gift card you buy for someone on your holiday shopping list, you'll receive a $10 bonus gift for yourself. It's a win-win there. So visit TokayaOrganica.com to find your nearest location.
Hey, Taylor, follow our lead here. Thanks again, Taylor Nolan, for coming on the podcast today, hanging out, talking, sharing your life, sharing your lessons, your insights. We appreciate you. Taylor, we do a little thing here at the Almost Famous podcast when we sign off every time. Just follow our lead, okay? You're going to end this here. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
I've been Taylor.
Bye.
Later, guys.
Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.